Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word, for the privilege of gathering as your people. And as we open the scriptures this morning, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our lives to receive them. Teach us what it means to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. By your Holy Spirit, shape us into thankful people, that in all things we may glorify you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said in my opening remarks, and as you no doubt know, this weekend we celebrate Thanksgiving, which in our country occurs at a time when nature, I think, is at its most beautiful. The vibrant reds, the bright yellows, the deep oranges are breathtaking everywhere you look. But Thanksgiving, as you also know, isn't really about the colors of the season, is it? And Thanksgiving isn't really about any of the images that might come to mind. Turkey dinner, pumpkin pie, hiking at Lemoyne's Point. Thanksgiving is about just that, being thankful and giving thanks as we reflect on God's many blessings to us. The Anglican theologian J.C. Ryle writes, "Giving thanks is not only a duty, but a delight, for it is the recognition of God's goodness and God's grace." Now, having said that, I need to recognize that giving thanks is a lot easier said than done. It involves awareness. It involves knowing what we're thankful for and intentionally taking the time to count our blessings, lest we take them for granted or, even worse, focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. Thanksgiving involves going deeper and being thankful for more than just external things like having food or a roof over our head or good health or financial security. And it's also, I think, a state of being. Thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart that grows out of our relationship with Jesus and what he has done for us. As one person writes, "A true Christian is someone who never for a moment forgets what God has done for them in Christ, and whose whole comportment and whose activity have their root in a sentiment of gratitude." Whose whole activity have their root in a sentiment of gratitude. Now, although God has blessed each one of us with so much, nothing can compare to the ultimate gift that he has given us in his Son, Jesus. As Paul writes in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Right? Instead of what we deserve, God gives us grace. He provides for our needs in the moment. He never abandons, never forsakes us, and he promises to love us even when the mountains and hills are crumbling all around us. In response, we are called to display an attitude of gratitude in all that we do. Now, for the past several weeks, we've been engaged in our 10th anniversary sermon series, "To God Be the Glory." And we've been doing this as a reminder that the purpose of the church, and indeed the purpose of our lives, is to glorify God in all things. And so this morning, we come to another way that we can glorify God, and that is by being thankful. Now, this might sound simple. It may even sound obvious. I mean, after all, gratitude is easy when life is easy. However, in verse 18 of our first reading that Pauline just read for us, from 1 Thessalonians, Paul doesn't say, "Give thanks when you feel like it," or "Give thanks when everything is rainbow and unicorns." He says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a minute, but let's just say that's a tall order, isn't it, if you think about it? However, what we need to understand is gratitude is not just an emotion. Gratitude is an intentional decision. Gratitude is a discipline. And ultimately, gratitude is an act of worship. Thankfulness glorifies God because it recognizes Him as the source of everything we are and everything we have. And when we give thanks, we're saying, Lord, this didn't come from me. And this is not about me. This came from you, and this is all about you. You see, gratitude, thankfulness, thanksgiving, whatever word you want to use, it shifts the focus. It shifts the focus from me, from us, to God. And that's what this day, that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Turning our hearts away from comparison and complaint and back towards wonder and worship. As preacher John Piper writes, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. I like that. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And so this morning, I want to look at three elements of gratitude from our readings that can help us glorify God through thanksgiving. So element number one is the command of gratitude. The command of gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, we read this. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting, I think, that Paul ties these three short commands together. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. It's almost like there are three strands of one rope. And if you pull one, the others tighten with it. Right? Rejoicing flows into prayer, and prayer flows into thanksgiving. And we need to understand that when Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, he isn't saying that we have to be thankful for all things. Right? There are some things that come into our life that are deeply painful and not good in themselves, things that we wouldn't want to be thankful for. However, Paul does call us here to be thankful in all things because God is still good even when life is not. Right? Paul's words here are a clear call to trust that no matter what's happening in our lives, in us or around us, God is still sovereign. And God is still sovereign even in the storm. Gratitude and being thankful is not denial. It isn't saying that things aren't bad. Gratitude and being thankful is defiance. It's a holy stubbornness that says things are bad. Things are very, very bad, but no matter what happens, I will not let go of my confidence in the goodness of God. And that's why Paul says that this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But so often people wonder, I've wondered, maybe you've wondered, you know, what is God's will for my life? We spend a lot of time wondering that. Well, here's one part of God's will for us that is absolutely clear. There can be no doubt. God's will is that we would live with thankful hearts. That we would live with thankful hearts, not because God needs our thanks, not because everything's going as we would like, but because gratitude transforms us. Gratitude transforms us. When we seek to live this way, when we live in thankfulness, something happens inside of us. By the grace of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit, anxiety loosens its grip. Bitterness loses its voice and joy starts to take root again. Thankfulness is one of the most powerful spiritual disciplines because it resets It reboots and it reorients our soul. To put it another way, ingratitude narrows our world and thanksgiving expands it. Complaining makes God seem small, and gratitude magnifies him. When we start counting our blessings, we begin to notice the list of things that we can be thankful for actually never ends. Think of it like spiritual oxygen, right? The more we breathe in gratitude, the more life fills our soul. And that's why worship is filled with thanksgiving, because we come alive when we remember who God is and what he's done for us. I mean, it's no coincidence that the word Eucharist, right, the central act of Christian worship, literally means thanksgiving. And so every Sunday, we gather around this table, right, this table of grace, to remember and to give thanks. And so thanksgiving is not an annual event. It is not something that we celebrate one day of the year. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Paul is telling the church in Thessalonica, a young church that was facing much persecution and much hardship, he says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Because gratitude in the Christian life is not dependent on our circumstances. Gratitude in the Christian life is rooted in the person of Christ himself. So let me ask you, how often do you display an attitude of gratitude? How often do you count your blessings? I'm starting to sweat a little bit on the collar, actually. I need to practice what I preach. So that was number one, the command of gratitude. Number two is the example of gratitude. The example of gratitude. St. Ambrose writes, no duty is more urgent than that of returning thanks. No duty is more urgent than that of returning thanks. Now, I think we would all nod our heads in agreement. Wouldn't we? Is there anyone who disagrees with Ambrose? The sad thing is we don't always do this, do we? Sometimes we can take our blessings and the people in our lives for granted. I know that I do. And sometimes we can take God for granted too. And instead of living lives marked by gratitude and thanksgiving, we can live lives marked with of ingratitude and unthankfulness. And I think we see a good example of this in our gospel reading this morning from Luke 17. Now, Luke tells us that Jesus is traveling with his disciples to Jerusalem along the border between Samaria and Galilee, a kind of in-between place, both geographically and socially. And as they pass through Samaria, they're approached by 10 lepers who ask to be healed. Now, as I've told you many times before, leprosy in those days wasn't just a physical disease. It wasn't just a disease of the body. It was also a disease that tore people out of community. Right? Lepers were considered ritually unclean. And as a result, they were banished from the village. They were cut off from family and friendship. And even worship. To be a leper was to be utterly alone, unclean, unwanted, and unseen. Yet when these 10 men see Jesus passing by, we're told they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus, full of compassion and mercy, without even touching them, without praying, without fanfare or spectacle, simply says, go and show yourselves to the priests, which is what the law required when someone was healed of leprosy before they could officially re-enter society. And Luke tells us that as they go, they're miraculously healed. Now, I think this has to be one of the quickest and quietest miracles in the Gospels, but I think it's also one of the most revealing. 10 men are cleansed. 10 lives are changed forever, yet only one turns around. Only one comes back, shouting praise to God, and falling at Jesus' feet, thanks him. Now, Luke tells us that Jesus looks at this former leper and asks the obvious, well, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now, obviously, I don't know for sure, but when I read that question, there's a touch of divine sadness in that. Right? It's not that Jesus needs our thanks. However, I think he delights in a heart that recognizes when grace comes. 10 received healing. Only one received wholeness. You see, there's a difference between being healed on the outside and being made whole on the inside. Right? 9 lepers were cured physically of leprosy, but only one was cured physically and spiritually. Only one saw who Jesus truly was and returned to give him thanks. Now, I think we can learn 3 important lessons from this leper's response to Jesus. Lesson number 1, gratitude begins with awareness. Gratitude begins with an awareness. Gratitude starts when we open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to what God has done. The Samaritan saw that he was healed, and that simple act of noticing changed everything. Right? The others kept walking. Perhaps they were too excited to get home and to see their loved ones, too caught up in this new beginning to stop and to give thanks. And you know, that's often how ingratitude creeps in. It's usually not through outright rebellion or ignorance, but rather through distraction. Right? Life gets so busy and blessings pile up unnoticed and unacknowledged. However, gratitude requires attentiveness. When was the last time you truly noticed the mercy of God at work in your life? So gratitude begins with awareness. Lesson number 2, the leper shows us that gratitude leads to worship. Gratitude leads to worship. When the healed man returned, he didn't just say thanks as if Jesus had just passed him the salt. He fell at his feet, shouting in praise. We're told he prostrated himself. That's what true thanksgiving always does. It lifts our eyes from the gift to the giver. It moves us from polite acknowledgement to heartfelt adoration. I mean, you can almost picture the scene. One man, once rejected by all, now laying at the feet of the Lord of all. His voice once used to cry out for mercy, and now it cries out in praise. His posture changed from standing off at a distance to kneeling in closely. And that's what gratitude does. It closes the distance between us and God. Closes the distance between us and God. Worship that flows from God is never mechanical. It's the spontaneous overflow of a heart that knows it has received far more than it deserves. So that's lesson number 2. Gratitude leads to worship. And number 3, lesson 3, gratitude deepens faith. Gratitude deepens faith. Notice what Jesus says to the man at the end. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. Right? All 10 were healed, but only one is told this. His faith, expressed through thanksgiving, completed what began with obedience. Gratitude strengthens faith because it keeps memory alive. Think about it this way. Every time we thank God for what he's done, we build a monument, an Ebenezer, so to speak, a monument of remembrance in our soul. And when the next trial comes, when the next roadblock comes, the next time we find ourselves in the pit of despair, those monuments remind us he's been faithful before, he will be faithful again. That's why Thanksgiving is so central to worship. It's not just about the past. It's about preparing the heart for what's ahead. The one who returned glorified God, not by grand speeches or heroic acts, but by a simple, heartfelt thank you. And in that moment, heaven rejoiced, because gratitude always gives the glory to God. 10 people got the blessing. Only one remembered where it came from. Gratitude at its core is remembering the giver. And that's what worship is all about, remembering who God is and what God has done. When we remember, we glorify. When we forget, we drift. It's that simple. When we remember, we glorify. When we forget, we drift. So let me ask you, how often do you take the time amidst the busyness of your life to stop, to count your blessings, and to give thanks to God, to remember the giver, and not just the gift? So that is the example of gratitude. And finally, element number 3 is the glory of gratitude. The glory of gratitude. Now, if my first point shows us the command of gratitude, and the second, the example of gratitude, this third point shows us the glory. And what I mean by that is how thankfulness itself becomes an act of worship that magnifies God and at the same time shapes us into his likeness. Right? So we're glorifying God, we're magnifying him, and at the same time, we're being shaped into his likeness by the Spirit, but one degree of glory to another. When the healed man returned to Jesus, Luke says he came praising God in a loud voice. Now that's key. He wasn't whispering. He wasn't muttering to himself. He was praising God in a loud voice because that's what thanksgiving does. It glorifies God. It declares publicly what God has done privately. Right? Gratitude turns personal blessing into public witness. The theologian G.K. Chesterton once said, "The worst moment for an atheist is when he feels truly thankful and has no one to thank." However, for those of us who know the living God as he has revealed through his Son, every breath of gratitude actually becomes a confession of faith, a declaration that God is real, God is present, and God is good. Right? Gratitude glorifies God because, as I said, it shifts the focus of the story. It reminds us that life is not about our achievements, but all about his grace. And when we thank God, we're saying, the good that's in my life did not start with me and doesn't end with me. It's all about you. 9 lepers received mercy and walked away. 1 received mercy and walked back. His returning, his thanksgiving shows us 3 ways that gratitude glorifies God. Number 1, gratitude glorifies God by acknowledging his grace. Right? To thank God is to acknowledge dependence. It acknowledges that we are actually dependent on God. That every good thing we have is from his hand. That's why gratitude and humility always walk together. Right? Proud hearts don't thank easily. Proud hearts assume they deserve what they've received, that they've worked for what they received. But the humble heart recognizes grace and responds in praise. Every act of thanksgiving, large and small, public or private, says, God, you are the source. I am the recipient. This posture glorifies God because it places him in his rightful place as Lord, as giver, as sustainer. God is glorified when we give thanks, again, not because he needs the affirmation, but because thanksgiving reveals the truth about who he is and who we are. So gratitude glorifies God by acknowledging grace. Number two, gratitude glorifies God by transforming our hearts. Now, I've mentioned this a bit already, but let me tell you how this happens. Thankfulness doesn't just change our words and the things we say. Thankfulness changes our vision. It's like a spiritual lens cleaner, right? It clears away the smudges of cynicism and the smudges of entitlement and the smudges of comparison so that we can see God's goodness in our lives more clearly. And the more we thank God, the more aware we become of his presence. And the more aware we are of his presence, the more reasons we find to give thanks. Can you see how it's cyclical? That's why thanksgiving and joy feed one another. Right? Gratitude is the soil in which joy grows. And joy is what gives glory to God, because a joyful Christian is a living testimony that God satisfies the soul. When we cultivate gratitude, we stop asking, why me? And we start saying, thank you, Lord, even here, even now. Gratitude glorifies God by transforming our hearts. And finally, number three, gratitude glorifies God by strengthening our witness. It strengthens our witness. One of the most powerful ways that we can bear witness in the world today is through thankful living. But think about the world that we live in. Think about what you're seeing on the news, what you're reading in social media. We live in a culture that thrives on complaint, don't we? Where outrage and envy and entitlement seem to be the default setting of the human heart. And so in that context, a thankful person really stands out. And a thankful church shines like light in a dark world of grumbling and complaining, negativity, doom and gloom and fear. When the world sees believers who are grateful and who are content and who are joyful, even in the midst of hardship, it sees something very different. It sees the glory of God reflected in the lives of ordinary, everyday people, like you and like me. I mean, think about Paul and Silas in prison. Right? Their backs were bleeding because they were beaten with rods, and their feet are chained, and they're in this dank, cold, dark prison. What do? We're told they sang hymns, and they gave thanks. And what happened? The other prisoners listened to their gratitude, and it became evangelism. Paul and Silas were lights in the darkness. When we give thanks in all circumstances, we show the world that our hope does not rest on comfort or success or on things going our way. Our hope rests fully on Christ. And so let me ask you, how do you seek to glorify God through thanksgiving in your everyday life? What is your witness to the world, to the people that you interact with on a daily basis? Charles Spurgeon writes, "The duty of gratitude is one of the most solemn and sacred obligations of the Christian life." I like that. The duty of gratitude is one of the most solemn and sacred obligations of the Christian life. And so on this Thanksgiving, the question I think before each one of us is simple. It's simple, but it's searching. Will you be the one who returns? Will you be the one who returns? 10 were blessed. Only one came back. 10 experienced mercy. Only one gave glory. Which one will you be? God has blessed us. He has been so faithful, right? Faithful to Living Waters Anglican Fellowship over these 10 years. Faithful to you in your life and faithful to me in mine. Through joys and through sorrows and through challenges and hardships, the ups and downs of everyday living. Bless you. And today he invites each one of us just to stop. To stop amidst the busyness and chaos of life, to turn around, to go back, and to give thanks. Now maybe your life right now is full and overflowing. And if that's true, then let your thanksgiving overflow to God and to other people. Maybe your life's been a season of loss and uncertainty lately. Well, if that's true, then give thanks in it, trusting that God is still at work, that God is still with you, that God will never leave you nor forsake you, that God is not finished with you yet. Whatever your circumstance, the call is the same. Rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. For this grateful posture of the heart is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. When we give thanks, we glorify him. And when we glorify him, we find joy. And so may you be like the one who returned. Come back to the feet of Jesus this Thanksgiving Sunday, not just to say thank you, but to live thank you. May gratitude not only be our response, but our lifestyle, not just a word we speak once a year, but a way of life that says in all things, to God be the glory. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that fill our lives, for the gift of life and breath, for family and friends, for daily bread, for quiet moments, for your faithfulness that never fails us. Forgive us for the times we've taken your goodness for granted or walked away without returning to give thanks. Teach us to see your hand in all things, in the joys and in the struggles, in the answered prayers and in the waiting. Make us a thankful people who always remember the giver, who rejoice always, who pray continually, who give thanks in all circumstances. May our gratitude bring you glory, and may our lives proclaim the goodness of Jesus, our Savior, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.